Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Wednesday. This is Seattle Now. As Blue Origin launches another rocket into space today, the culture of the company that designed and built it is under scrutiny. In a minute, we'll hear why it's a problem for the entire industry. But first, let's get you caught up. Boeing employees in Renton and Everett will need to get vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 8th to keep their jobs. Seattle Times reports the policy was announced yesterday. It will apply to 125,000 Boeing employees nationwide, about 57,000 here in Washington. The company says workers can ask for an exemption for a disability or sincerely held religious belief. The move brings Boeing in line with deadlines set by President Biden for federal contractors. After 19 months, travel between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico is finally set to open back up. The Associated Press reports non-essential travel is set to resume in early November. You'll be asked about your vaccination status and might have to prove it, but there's no testing required. We'll get more details when the policy is officially announced later today. And the first ever Seattle Kraken game is in the books.
5 seconds left. It's in the center zone and inside the Kraken line and out. Donato, a final hope from the blue line off a body wide. That's all.
Down by 3 goals, the Kraken fought back to tie it up, but wound up losing to the Vegas Golden Knights 4-3. It's a long season, though. They play 82 games in hockey. Next up, a trip to Nashville tomorrow night. Another rocket from Kent-based Blue Origin is taking off today, this time with original Star Trek series Captain William Shatner on board. But the launch comes as Blue Origin and founder Jeff Bezos face scrutiny for reports of culture problems, including widespread sexism and sexual harassment, and a focus on speed over safety. Alexandra Abrams used to work at the company's headquarters in Kent.
It was great that Blue Origin was smooth and steady and slow until Jeff started becoming impatient and Elon and Branson were getting ahead. And then we started to feel this increasing pressure and impatience that would definitely filter down from leadership.
Do you believe that competing with the other billionaires in the space race took precedence over safety?
Yes, I do believe that.
That was Abrams in conversation with CBS News. She and 20 other employees penned an article outlining their concerns. The Washington Post also uncovered allegations of a toxic workplace, described by one employee as authoritarian bro culture. Laura Forsick is here to talk with us about the situation at Blue Origin and in the space industry overall. She's a space scientist and analyst based in Atlanta. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're talking about this because Blue Origin employees wrote this essay. What did you think when you read it? How did it resonate with you?
I was touched because I know this kind of activity happens behind closed doors, and we often don't hear about it in such a detailed manner so publicly. Usually it's whispers here and there or shared stories at dinner, and it's commonly accepted that some behavior like this is going on in the majority of space companies and universities, which is unfortunate, right? But it's still part of the culture. However, to hear this kind of allegation come out with so many employees signing on to that letter, you know, 21 current and former employees of Blue Origin, I mean, that's quite stark. And it also raised a number of safety concerns, enough to get the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, involved to check up on Blue Origin's safety history. So, you know, it's not necessarily surprising to me, but it is harmful and hurtful that we still have to put up with this in the year 2021.
I want to talk a little bit about how this translates into issues of safety a little bit later, but for now, there are also allegations of widespread sexism and sexual harassment that are going unaddressed in the company. Have you seen that environment in your experience in the space industry?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have. And I don't know any woman in the space industry who hasn't, to be honest with you. It is, you know, either on a small scale with some comments made, or in some cases on a large scale with inappropriate conduct from supervisors. And I myself have experienced sort of both of those, not enough to, you know, to write about it too publicly or to speak out. It didn't stop my career, whereas some women, it really truly stops their careers and they leave the space industry altogether. We want the space sector to be a welcoming environment for all people, including women who have been historically excluded from the space sector. Historically, it has been seen as a male profession, and it wasn't until the 1980s that we had the first American female astronaut, Sally Ride. And it's not necessarily that women aren't drawn to these careers. A lot of them are simply either actively or in undercurrents discouraged from either pursuing it in the first place or from continuing their careers. And that's important with all kinds of minorities that we have historically in the space sector excluded. And I do mean excluded, like they were simply not allowed to participate or in other ways discouraged.
Laura, I would like you to help me understand the benefit of being more representative in the workforce in the space industry.
Studies have been done that more diverse teams actually leads to more success on the team, which equals more profit, more success for the company, as well as just providing an alternate point of view that somebody may not have even realized. We all have internal biases, every one of us. And so by getting someone on our team or working with a colleague who is outside of our community or outside of our bubble or has a different background, they will get us thinking in a new way. And that's never bad.
You brought this up at the beginning, but one of the things employees are concerned about is the safety of people who are on these kinds of vehicles. They draw a very clear line between management issues they see at Blue Origin and the conditions that led to the Challenger explosion in 1986. Give me your perspective on this. Can you explain the reason for this concern?
When it comes to human spaceflight, which Blue Origin does do human spaceflight as well as other types of spaceflight, human safety, that safety culture is paramount, and it needs to be, because we have seen historically with NASA in particular, ignoring safety concerns or taking for granted that the way things have always been is the way that it's going to continue to be just fine, or ignoring concerns of lower level employees and, sort of dismissing it in favor of what's called go fever. You want to have a go for launch, and therefore you ignore dissent coming down below that says, hey, maybe we should check into this first. And It's a little surprising to me, actually, to hear the allegations that there might be safety concerns within Blue Origin, because historically, Blue Origin has had a really good safety record so far, except for its initial test flights. It's had perfect record for New Shepard, which is their suborbital vehicle. And the competitor to the competitor in the human suborbital spaceflight arena to Blue Origin is Virgin Galactic, which has seen public failures and safety concerns come up. And so the fact that Blue Origin might be harboring safety concerns enough to have a public letter written about it, yeah, that is concerning to me and something that the FAA should be looking into.
You mentioned the go fever at NASA that led to some problems, but you do need a certain amount of drive to take the risks of sending rockets into space. But of course, there's also a danger to being too risky. How do you balance that?
I don't know the right answer. I don't know if anyone knows the right answer, because we can't be so risk averse that we don't even step foot outside of our own planetary home. But at the same time, we still don't want to take unnecessary risks. And that's the difference there, is what is considered an unavoidable risk versus a avoidable risk, one that we can prevent. And that is where these companies have a responsibility, because right now, the U.S. government has decided that the FAA cannot regulate the safety of these vehicles. They are exempt from safety regulations until a certain date. And so it's up to the companies to say, we have taken the appropriate measures of safety and we're going to go forward.
And let's just take a step back for a moment. Obviously, all these issues are important for people working at companies like Blue Origin or SpaceX, but these companies are also setting themselves up as the future of humanity. And I wonder, from your perspective, what kind of responsibility comes with that promise?
I think it's a huge responsibility, and one that is not often talked about. we talk a lot in the United States of America about bringing American values into space. That's a sort of a tie back to the nationalism aspect of a, you know, Americans bringing values into space versus the Soviet Union bringing their values into space during the Cold War. And now we still see that today with American values versus, say, Chinese values, because we've got the Chinese as the main adversary right now in space. But it is important for commercial companies to be thinking about this, because how companies treat their employees on the ground, on Earth, is representative of how they're going to treat people in space. So let's say in the future, we have more and more commercial missions that are more long-lasting and larger. And in fact, the idea is that companies may even get to the point where they're doing massive missions. For example, SpaceX has a large, very, very large rocket called Starship that it's currently building that could host hundreds of people and send them to places like Mars. Maybe you want to set up a Martian base that is run by SpaceX. So what are the ethics then of living in a, what's essentially a company town, and the company controls your air, your water, everything about your living environment? And we've learned the hard way here on Earth, and are still learning the hard way, of how companies can be really exploitive. And unfortunately, we still see this today with, you know, Jeff Bezos and his other company, Amazon, which he recently stepped down from running, but it certainly had its troubles of exploitive behaviors of its employees. And now we're seeing a similar story with Blue Origin. And so we really need to be cognizant of the way that we treat people on Earth and only take the best of what we want into space. We're still going to be human. We're still going to be flawed, but we want to raise above, right? We want to be more of the types of people that we see in some of the more inspiring science fiction stories, like Star Trek, for example. We don't want to have a society that makes the same mistakes over and over.
Laura Forsick is a space scientist and analyst. Laura, really appreciate you sharing your expertise. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening today. Claire McGrain produced today's show. Our production team is Diana Opong, Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, Jenny Cecil Moore, and Jason Pagano. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy.